Volatility in the market is a fact. What isn't so clear is what the ups and downs of the market can do to your retirement portfolio. For answers, call Kevin Brooker at 800-975-6717. Kevin is founder and CEO of Silverleaf Financial, and he's been helping people cut through the noise and create a retirement and income plan that can take you all the way through retirement. Call now for your free financial consultation, 800-975-6717. Today's market volatility can really take a toll on your portfolio. But what if you could lock in your gains and still be in a position to participate in the gains without suffering losses if the market plunges again? That's what Kevin Brooker at Silverleaf Financial can help you achieve. Your no-cost analysis includes a portfolio x-ray showing any hidden fees in your current plan. He'll show you how by claiming Social Security at the right time can make a huge difference in your retirement income. Call Kevin Brooker today, 800-975-6717. Do it today.
This is Kevin Brooker. Welcome to Cruising Through Retirement. You know, when it comes to retirement planning, there are five basic steps to help you get there. From there, we craft a plan around those pillars that help us get to retirement. And, you know, can it be that there are just five steps, though? The short answer is yes, but the longer answer is it all comes down to how we massage those five areas and make them our own. We're going to help cover that on today's show.
You found Cruising Through Retirement with Kevin Brooker. Kevin is an investment advisor representative with more than 30 years' experience. He's helped thousands of people cruise through retirement, and he'd be happy to help you, too. Stick around for today's adventure on Cruising Through Retirement.
Welcome in, everybody. This is Cruising Through Retirement. Kevin Brooker is here. I'm Steve Siddall. Kevin is a fiduciary, investment advisor, representative. He's been helping folks get to and through retirement for 30-plus years, and you'll find him at Silverleaf Financial, silverleaffinancial.com. Kevin, as always, a pleasure, and it's been a heck of a week.
Oh, it is. It is always a pleasure to be here. Guys, I appreciate you listening, and if you've been watching the stock market, yes, it has been a heck of a week.
Wow.
We've finally seen some rollover in some of these tech stocks that have been flying for the whole year so far.
So, like what? What happened?
Oh my gosh! You know what? A lot of stocks that have been driven, and anyone that's an avid market follower, you probably have heard the name of Nvidia.
Oh yeah.
The symbol is NVDA, and Nvidia is considered to be the leader in artificial intelligence in terms of providing the chips that other companies need to develop their AI platforms. And I'm not going to claim that I'm a technology expert, but I do know enough that I can see their numbers are going just absolutely phenomenal. They had something like 400% earnings growth in the last year. So if you look at the stock in NVIDIA, how it's traded, just this year, I believe it's up about 100 and it was up, I want to say, 140, 150%, so now it's maybe 120%. And other stocks in that area, Dell Computer, is supposed to generate a ton of business from AI. Dell had a fantastic year and has pulled back probably 30% from its high, if not more. And so we're seeing a lot of these companies in that space that have been taking a breather. And I want to say, Steve, I think it's healthy. Guys, to me,
okay,
it's healthy. I am going to be a buyer of NVIDIA once it settles down here. Not yet. I haven't bought any new shares yet. But it was trading. I believe it closed around 115, and I believe the high is around 140. And they've got an earnings report, I believe, coming out the end of August, like the last week in August, if I'm not mistaken. And in the last couple of earnings reports, if you look at how the stock is traded, it's just exploded. And so this is not, let me be clear, though, these stocks are not for the faint of heart, okay? They are not something that if you get concerned about volatility, these probably aren't for you, because these things can easily move 20% in 1 or 2 days.
Whoa,
either
God.
Direction, okay? And so I'm looking at it as something for the next few years to hold on to. I think we're at the very beginning of the AI, artificial intelligence revolution. I think it's going to be more impactful than the dawn and the birth of the internet in the 90s. But it doesn't happen overnight, right? There's
right.
a lot of fits and starts, if you will. And so what's happening is there was a lot of hype around these companies, and everybody, you know, every conference call that every company did, it got to the point that if they just said they were involved with AI, then their stock would pop because there was so much hype around it. And so now what's happening in the last couple of weeks, people are stepping back and saying, wait a minute, these companies, like what happened, Google, for instance, came out and announced their CapEx, their capital expenditures, so the amount of money they're spending on building up their infrastructure and the amount of money they're putting in to build their AI business is many, many billions. I think it was $25 billion, maybe. But it's a big, big number, and they're not generating earnings from it yet. So finally, the Wall Street is saying, wait a minute, guys, you're spending all this money. What kind of results are we seeing? What results are we getting? And so what's happened now is people are stepping back and saying, wait a minute, they're spending all this money. Should these stocks be trading at these prices now when we still got a long way to go to get this, you know, developed further?
Yeah.
And so that's what's happening in terms of the pullback. But you've also got to remember, guys, we haven't even had a 2% correction until the last week or so. It's been a long, long time. I think you have to go back to 2022 to see the last time we had like a 5% correction. And that's not normal, and it's not healthy. We want a stock market that does a zigzag. We want it to go up and back, up and back, up and back. Kind of like some people say back and fill, right?
Back and fill, yeah.
Right? You want it to digest. Nothing goes straight up, right? So you want it to go up a little. So in other words, this is what I would call this a healthy correction. I think it's a healthy correction. As far as I can see, the earnings growth story is still very much intact. And I don't know of any other company, if there are any, that are growing their revenue and their earnings as fast as NVIDIA. It's really mind-blowing, the amount of growth. If you guys look at their numbers, it's phenomenal. How Jensen Huang, the CEO of that company, has taken them from a graphics chip company to the leader in AI is incredible.
Yeah, what a journey.
Oh, it's amazing, and that's why he's worth, I don't know, $120 billion or something now.
I was going to say, it's high up in the B's.
he's money is not a problem, let's say.
Let's say that, yeah. Well, speaking of money and not being a problem, that's what we want when we get to retirement, and you set it up. There are five basic pillars of a retirement plan, and then you asked the question that I was going to ask, can it really be that easy? And I guess on the surface it is, but it's the nuances that you know, that you share your experience, that really crafts the plan.
It really does. What is the old somebody was saying? It's like it's simple, but it's not easy. Makes any
just
sense.
Like that. Simple, but not easy.
That's to me what it is, because you can break it down to just five steps that can be pretty basic. But the truth is, it takes a ton of discipline, long term commitment to getting yourself there financially. And the discipline I say is because as you start to build up savings. You know, you always have the choice. You can go spend it, blow it on something, you buy a new car, take a cruise, take a vacation, go to Europe, whatever, you know, give it away, right? Or you can do the disciplined, the hard thing, put it away and save it for the future, right? And so for a person to get to the point where they've got enough put away that you can live off of your investments, live off of your savings, you had to execute and demonstrate that discipline for decades in most cases. And a lot of people... They don't want to do it or they just don't care to do it, and that's why they wind up having to continue to work, in my opinion, or just having Social Security to rely on, and I wouldn't recommend that for anybody. It does happen sometimes, and you gotta play the hand you're dealt, right? But yep. if you have a choice, how about we do the best we can, put away as much as we can, let it grow, treat it like it's untouchable. I'm referring to your retirement accounts. Don't look at that at like a bank or money you can access in an emergency. Look at it like it's, you have to revere it, to use one of Joe Biden's words, I guess. You have to think it's sacred. Treat it like it's sacred. Don't touch it until you're in retirement. Don't borrow it for your kids. Don't borrow it for anything. Don't borrow it all from it, is my advice. And I think when you get to retirement, you would be very, very happy that you did. But one of the things we have to do that we start off with is income planning, right?
Because that's what it's all about.
Right? Because all of us are used to getting a check, right?
Yeah.
I mean, our bills come in every month. Hopefully you've got money coming in every month that'll pay your bills, right?
Well, most of us bills don't stop, but your check.
Oh, my gosh. They don't stop and they don't go down, do they?
No.
Unfortunately. So, so we have to figure out a way to replace that paycheck, right? And in fact, there are books out there. What is it? Paychecks to Playchecks? Something like that?
Yeah, right.
Right? So... So we need to focus on how we're going to do that, right? You want to develop a strategy so you can ensure a steady, reliable stream of income throughout your retirement. And you want to look at your Social Security so you can decide, you know, when is the best time for you to claim Social Security? That is a really big decision, guys. A lot of people, I don't think they spend enough time thinking about it. And I'm referring to all the people that claim at 62. I think if they researched that, they would not claim at 62. All right. Now, sometimes it makes sense. I'm going to say if you have serious health problems, then it might make perfect sense to claim at 62. You know, if you have no other choice, then as I mentioned, you got to play the hand you're dealt sometimes. You know, but in my opinion, if you look at the research, there's been a ton of research done on this because you guys know, just to remind everybody, you can claim Social Security as early as 62. And if you do, you're going to get a 25 to 30% reduction, a permanent reduction in your monthly benefit. All right. Now, a lot of people, I just learned recently, a lot of people seem to think that they can claim early and that they're going to get bumped back up to what they were supposed to get when they turn 67.
Guys, I understand that logic. Yeah.
It's not true. It's not true at all. Okay. If you claim early, you get a permanently reduced check. It'll still adjust with inflation, but you're starting from a level 25 or 30% lower than you would have been if you waited until 67 or 66. You're between 66 and 67 for pretty much everybody to determine what they call your full retirement age, which is when you get they don't haircut your check, they don't discount it at all. And if you wait beyond 67, then you get roughly an 8% increase each year until you're 70. Now, let me clarify, there is no reason anybody should ever wait to claim past the age of 70 because there's no benefit to it. You're literally giving money away if you wait past 70, all right? So make sure you put in those claim forms at least 3 months before you turn 70. If you're the higher-earning spouse and you're married and you're the higher-earning spouse, meaning you're going to get the bigger Social Security check, my advice is to seriously wait as long as you can because after one of you passes away, the survivor is only going to get the bigger of your two Social Security checks. They will not get both checks, okay? So whoever has the biggest Social Security check coming to them, that person should be looking very seriously at trying to wait as long as possible. And the studies, guys, the studies that have done, that have looked back at all the people that have claimed, tens of thousands of people claiming strategies, different age groups, over time they've looked at it, and this study concluded that roughly 70% of the population would benefit by waiting until you're 70 to claim your Social Security.
And that's a big percentage.
It's a huge percentage, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's because we're living so much longer, right? Mm-hmm. Guys, you want to think about, I know that if you wait until 67 versus 62, you're giving up 5 years of those checks, right? So we want to add up how much those checks would be, the cumulative total of those checks that you would have received from 62 to 67, in order to figure out what is your break-even point. In other words, how long does it take collecting those bigger checks from the age of 67, right, to get past the point that the cumulative total you've received is more than the amount you would have had if you started at 62? And I'm going to give you the answer. It takes about 10 years. Okay, it's roughly 77 years old, plus or minus, depending on the individual circumstances and the individual's, you know, work history, things like that, but it's roughly the age of 77. So if you think you're going to live till at least 60, I'm sorry, till at least 77, you definitely should wait until full retirement age to claim. If you don't think you're going to live that long, then maybe it does make sense to claim at 62. If your family has, you know, serious health problems, or if your siblings and your parents did not live past the age of 77, then I would say you want to think hard about claiming earlier. All right, but if you have longevity in your family, if you have people in your family that have lived into their 90s, you really should think hard. If you're healthy, you should really think hard about waiting until 70. Because the difference, I told you the difference between claiming at 62 and 67, your break-even point is around 77 years old. Now let's compare 67 to 70, claiming at 67 versus claiming at 70.
Okay.
The break-even point there, Steve, is around 81 to 82. Okay, and what that means is by the time you get to 82, if you wait in until 70, because those checks are bigger, you will have now received more from Social Security by the age of 82 by claiming at 70 versus 67. Okay, so if you think there's a chance you could live well past 82, you really, I strongly recommend you wait until you're 70 to claim. But it's an individual decision. It obviously is based on how long we live and how many checks you collect, right? Most of us don't know when our expiration date is. But I suggest looking at your own health and medical condition, and then if you're able to wait financially, to wait as long as possible, because a lot of people are living well past the age of 82 these days.
Sure. Well, and again, Kevin, we've talked about this before, and not only do you get a bigger check, but at the same time, because we are living longer, it just gives you so much more flexibility, and if you're waiting, then maybe you don't need that Social Security as a serious part of your income. It becomes the bonus that you want.
It does, 100%. Steve, and I'm glad you said that, because that's something that I wanted to mention. That's something I'm planning to do, and I'm working on for me and my wife, is to have sufficient investments put together that I can live off of the income from my investments without Social Security.
Yeah, and then really, what a great goal.
And then it makes me excited.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
Because one of the things that I worry about, I've said several times, and I'm going to get political for a minute, I'm voting all Democrat in the election, and that includes all the way up and down the Senate and the House, all right? Because I believe it's going to take a Democratic majority to actually get them to take action on fixing Social Security and Medicare. Because if they don't do anything, we're looking at about a 20% cut in Social Security in about a decade, all right? That's a fact. And you can choose not to believe it. You can call it fake, bullshit, whatever you want to do. You're going to be the one suffering for it if we don't get government to fix this problem, all right? And I don't think enough seniors are paying attention to it, because there's a lot of people that count on that money. And so you need to ask yourself, are you going to be okay if they cut your check 20%? That's what I'm looking at. That's why I'm trying to do this in a way that I don't have to rely on Social Security.
Right.
Because I don't want to have to worry about a damn cut and saying, shit, they cut my Social Security, now I got to go back to work. I don't want to have to go down that road.
No.
And so my personal opinion is that the Democrats have shown in the past, because they're the ones that passed all those programs. And if you remember how the Republicans fought against Obamacare and the Affordable Care Act, that's the same way they fought against Medicare when Johnson passed it. It's the same way they fought against FDR in the 1930s when they passed Social Security. All right? The Republicans are for the business rich man. They're for the billionaires. That's who they're for. The Trump tax cuts benefit the top 1% of the population, which has a net worth over $18 million. That's who benefited from the Trump tax cuts. The rest of us, not so much. All right? You can do the research. Check it out. That's what the numbers show. So in my opinion, the number one concern is Social Security and Medicare. And from a financial standpoint, if you want to address that concern, we want to set up your budget in a way that you don't have to rely on it, okay? So we need to look at ways you can generate income. So if you have a pension, let's talk about when you claim your pension and how much you're going to get. You know what, Steve? I met with a couple months ago, and they're in their 60s, okay?
Okay?
They're retired. The woman did not know, okay, when they said the guy's got a pension, they're living on the guy's pension. And we talked about the amount, and he's been collecting it since he was in his mid-50s, actually. And he's been retired for years and years and years. And luckily, they've got a nest egg put away. But when I said, okay, so how much of that pension is going to go to your wife, should you pass away first? You know what the answer is? None.
None?
None.
Ouch.
And the look on the wife's face?
Well, this was news to her.
That was news to her.
Oh, crap.
He's been getting the pension for like 8 years now, okay? And they never had a discussion about that choice, right, guys? Because folks, when you choose, if you have an annuity and you choose a payment, you have several different ways you can structure the payment. It could be for your life, it could be for a joint life, it could be for just a 10-year fixed period of time. There's all sorts of options, and each one that you choose is going to wind up with a different payment. The same thing with pensions. Most pensions allow the person to choose, do they want it to cover their life, or which is going to, if it's only one person's life, that's going to be the biggest amount. That's why people choose that option, because it's the biggest check, right?
Yes.
If you make it go from a single life to a joint life, it's going to reduce the amount of that check. And a lot of people don't want to do that, all right? They'll give you options like we'll keep it the same for your life, and then your wife gets 75% or your wife gets 50%. There's a lot of choices, but you've got to discuss them with your spouse, please. so that they can plan, and so your advisor can help you plan how we're going to deal with it should you predecease your wife.
Sure. Wow. That's shocking to me that that she didn't know. Wow.
It's totally shocking to me, but in all honesty, I'm always shocked at the lack of communication over finances, because as a financial advisor, this is what I do every day, all day long.
Yeah.
I talk to people about these things. I'm an open book with my wife. Although if I'm, full disclosure, I take care of everything financial, and she's perfectly good with that. But
she's also aware of what's
going
on. That's the thing.
Totally.
Right? I mean, she's
completely
your partner, so yeah.
Yeah. And you know what, with me, because I've met so many couples historically, a lot of times the man was the guy, dealing with the finances, and I've met a lot of couples, that the woman was not really involved that much. Mm-hmm. And that's where part of the problem is when the guy dies first, is the woman a lot of times they weren't prepared to deal with it because they never dealt with it because the husband always dealt with it. And so because I've seen that repeatedly, I've tried to educate my wife just like I try to educate my clients.
Mm-hmm.
And because I don't want her to have problems when I'm gone. I want her to know exactly what she needs to do and how to do it, and so that she doesn't have to worry about that stuff, right? And so I think it's important. Everybody should be having these conversations. If you have a pension, congratulations, because most people don't have those anymore. The old three-legged stool was your Social Security check, your pension plan, and then your personal savings. So now most of us are faced with just Social Security and your personal savings.
And that'd be your two-legged stool. That doesn't work so well.
It's a two-legged stool, and no, it does not. You need something else to help balance it out.
Right.
And so that's what we're talking about. If you don't have a pension, then we've got to look at some other ways that you need to generate that income, right? We've all heard of the 4% rule. You can withdraw from stocks and bonds with a high likelihood it'll last your life, all right? You could have a real estate investment where you play landlord and you collect the rent, and hopefully you'll have responsible, good, solid tenants, because that can backfire on you too, right? You can live off of interest on bank CDs or bond interest, fixed interest investments, or you could set up an annuity, which has some of the highest guaranteed income payments out there, and they're guaranteed if you set it up properly, it'll pay you for life, even if the account goes to zero. There's no other account that'll do that, all right? The reason people put money into an annuity is because they want to know that that check is coming in every single month. Doesn't matter what happens, it is always going to be there.
Yes.
That's the certainty you get from an annuity contract, all right? And so there's a lot of ways we can slice it, but that's one of the first things we want to sit down and discuss is figuring out the income plan. And to do that, we're going to have to talk about your expenses. We look at the income and expenses. Then we look at your assets and your liabilities, okay? And we figure out what assets you have that we can use to generate that income. And of course, in order to figure out the sufficient amount of income, we got to talk about all your expenses, right? And so we're going to go through expense management. We want to eliminate. I like to eliminate anything that you're paying interest on. I highly recommend being debt-free, mortgage-free when you retire, because it's going to put you at the lowest possible monthly living expense amount, right? And since we know the expenses are only going higher, to me that's the best way to start off. But we also want to look at your investments, because what happens, a lot of people, they've been investing for growth their whole life, and then they get into retirement and they never really change that strategy. And then they get hit with a big drop in the market through a correction, and that can cause some serious pain. So we want to make sure we look at all these things to make sure we've got all our ducks in a row, so to speak, because
yeah.
I don't want anybody being stressed out when they're in retirement.
No, because that's the whole idea. You want to relax. You want to enjoy retirement. That's what you worked for.
Yes. I mean, you've worked, 40 years?
Yeah.
35 years? And so I think, with just life, there's enough drama. There's enough stress.
Do you think?
Just listen to politics for a couple minutes and you'll feel it, I'm sure. All right. So what I try to do is I want to do everything I can so that everybody can relax. You don't have to worry about it. You can play your golf game and go fishing, go visit the grandkids, go take that European trip, whatever you want to do, knowing that you've got the cash flow to pay for those bills and knowing that you've got extra money that you can go have some fun and it's not going to cause you any problem. And that's, I think, the retirement that folks want. And that's what I want to do my best to help you achieve.
Sure. Well, and again, you can do that by giving Kevin a call, 800-975-6717, 800-975-6717, or just visit the website, silverleaffinancial.com, silverleaffinancial.com. You can connect with Kevin right there. There's a link on the homepage that you can just send Kevin an email, and he'll get right back to you. And as we look at this, so we're income planning, expense management, investment management, I guess we've touched on that a little bit, huh?
Yes, yes, a little bit on the, you know, on the investment management. You know, I've heard a lot of, I've met a lot of people, and a lot of times they seem to be heavily invested in one or two areas of the investment world. Mm-hmm. In other words, I meet a lot of people that have like all their money in stocks and bonds, and then I've met other people that have all their money in annuities, and I meet other people that all their money is at their bank, some of it's in CDs, and I've always asked myself, why don't they spread it out more, diversify more? And I think it's because they just might not be aware of the other opportunities, or maybe they're perfectly happy with the way they're doing it, and they and that's it. And that's fine if that's what they want to do. My personal opinion is you should have all of them. That's how I feel about it. I think if somebody's got, you know, 600 grand, maybe put 200,000 into some annuities that can generate lifetime income, and maybe put 200 in stocks and put the other 200 in some other vehicles that have more protection, you know. A lot of people invest in indexed annuities for the conservative growth because they're protected, because an indexed annuity will guarantee you against a loss. So if the markets lose money and you're in an indexed annuity that's set up properly, you won't lose any money if the markets drop. But you can make money as they go up. And right now, the trade-off is there's a cap, okay? The trade-off is that nobody can give you 100% of the gains with none of the risk.
No.
Right? But they can give you a nice piece of that gain. In fact, I can show you contracts that will give you about 90% of the growth of the S&P 500 over a 7-year period. It'll also guarantee you a 4% minimum. So even if the market does crap, you know you got a 4% minimum guarantee. But if the market does well at the end of it, if the S&P did well, you can take that growth. So instead of paying the 4% per year, they'll pay you whatever that market did. So to me, that's one of the best risk-reward scenarios out there.
Oh, right? I love the sound of that.
I tell you, it is very, very attractive for anybody that is a moderate or a conservative investor. If you want to reduce risk of your portfolio but still have good potential upside, that to me is one of the best equations out there. Because you get a huge percentage of the growth, all right? And if it doesn't work, if we go into an extended period, we go into a depression, there's another world war, who knows what the heck might happen, right? There's a lot of crazy talk out there. So I think crazy things can happen when we have leaders talking the way they're talking. And so I'm hoping that doesn't happen. But personally, I think it'd be smart, considering the run that we've had in the stock market. I think it would make sense if you're getting close to retirement and you've had your money in the stock market to take some profits. Take some gains, lock them in, shift a little bit of that capital into something that's protected so you don't have to worry about your entire portfolio, okay? It'll reduce some of your risk, and I can show you studies where if you did this, you wound up with better overall returns than if you just had everything in the stock market because it'll reduce the volatility. In other words, you won't have as big a drops because some of that money is protected. So there's a lot of different ways we can do this. The important thing is really sit down with an advisor. Find somebody that you're comfortable with, that you know you can trust, that's got a lot of experience, and that you know is licensed to deal with both stocks and bonds, securities we call them, as well as guaranteed investments and insurance products like annuities. If they're fully licensed for all those products, they shouldn't have any agenda in recommending one versus the other because they're going to get paid no matter what you do. All right? But unfortunately, a lot of people in this business focus on one side or the other, and they'll just slam the other side. So the stockbroker will say, why would you buy an annuity? You know, it can make more money in the stock market. And the annuity guy will say, why would you take the risk of the stock market? You can lose half your money overnight. And they're biased because they only deal with half the market. All right? So to me, you're best with somebody that can deal with all of it. They can answer questions about all of it. Because those guys aren't supposed to talk about those products either. So the stockbroker is never supposed to tell you to sell your annuity to buy more stocks. Just like the annuity guy is not legally allowed to tell you to sell your stocks to buy an annuity because they're not licensed in those areas. But they do it all the time, all right? And that's a sign, guys. If a person you're talking to, the advisor, the agent you're talking to, is willing to break the law and violate those regulations by even talking about those when they're not licensed, you need to ask yourself if that person has the ethics and the morals and the integrity that you want from your advisor.
Absolutely. And again, that's a serious question, too, and one that should be talked about. And I like that the fact that you're an independent fiduciary advisor, meaning that you've got the whole world to deal with in terms of what's available. You're very transparent.
Yes.
You know, I mean, that's the key, isn't it? I mean, you know, I watched. There's commercials out there right now that are implying that if you're a fiduciary, you can't sell commissioned products, and that's just not true.
No, it's not true at all. It's not true at all. The fiduciary, right? I hope I didn't cut you off, Steve. The fiduciary's responsibility is to do what's in your best interest. All right. And I gotta pose a question. So how about this? These people that say they can't recommend an annuity, what do they do for somebody that they sit down with when the annuity is the best thing for them? What do they do then? You say, oh, I'm sorry, I can't recommend that to you, even though I know it's the best thing for you. I can't recommend it to you? That's ridiculous.
All right? Ridiculous.
Because I can show you cases where the annuity is the best solution. If a client is conservative, if they don't want to suffer through losses, if they want to manage the risk more effectively, if they don't want to take any chance, right, that they take a loss, but they want to do better than they can with their bank CD, all right, that's a perfect candidate to take a look at an index annuity, all right? Because I can show you index annuities that have had high single-digit, low double-digit returns with no risk of loss. And I can make an argument that for the right person, that's a perfect investment, okay? But I'm not going to approach it just like that. I like to start off with risk because that helps me eliminate different investments, right? So I want to start off with risk because if somebody says, no, they don't want everything at risk in the stock market, then how could I, in good judgment, put everything in the stock market?
Right.
Just because I'm fee-based, right? I mean, that's crazy. There's no fiduciary rule that states, there's no rule that states a fiduciary cannot receive a commission. The difference is you have to disclose it. So there's a form we fill out that shows you exactly what I'm getting paid, and you can see it. You can look at it. I have nothing to hide.
And well, a lot of times, too, is that commission doesn't come from the client's money.
No, it doesn't. It does not come. It doesn't come out of the client's money directly.
Yeah.
So if somebody puts $100,000 into an annuity, that $100,000 goes to work for you, all of it immediately. It's not like it gets deducted from the principal to pay the agent. It all goes to work immediately. The way to think about this, guys, is not on a one-time basis, though. Okay? Because I can't tell you how many people have said, "Well, you're going to make more with the annuity than you would with a brokerage account." And I said, "Well, that's debatable." Okay? Because it depends on how long the investment is. If I get paid 5% for an annuity, all right, chances are that's a 7-year contract that you have to hold for 7 years. So that's a 7-year investment I got paid 5% on. If you invest for 7 years in a brokerage account, the standard fee is 1%. So after 7 years, you paid 7%, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not 5, okay?
Right.
After 10 years, you'd have paid 10%, all right? And so I think you need to look at it over the time frame involved. Not just whether it's an upfront payment, because the upfront payment is more. Yeah, but you know what? Over time, you're going to pay more in brokerage fees than you would in the annuity commission.
Mm-hmm. You make sense, Kevin. And boy, we're going to have to wrap it up today. What are your thoughts going on? I mean, it's been a rough couple of weeks, you know, across the board. I don't mean just on the market. I mean just in general.
It has. You know, it has been a rough couple of weeks. Okay, as far as the market goes, seasonally, we are in a weak period. The end of July into August and September is typically, you know, not the best time for the stock market if you look at the almanac, the Stock Trader's Almanac. So don't rush in to load up right now. I do think there's some good buys. I am still going to be buying the AI stocks that are out there, but I'm not doing it yet. I'm waiting a little while longer, and then I'm going to edge into it piece by piece. Maybe I'll buy a third next week, and I'll wait a couple of weeks and buy another third, and then maybe a few weeks after that I'll buy another third, something like that. So over the next 2 or 3 months, I'll be legging in to those investments because we simply don't know in the short term what's going to happen because it is seasonally weak period of time, right? We've also got the elections coming up. We've got all kinds of other crazy stuff going on around the world. I am glad to say at least now we have one candidate that is not cognitively challenged running for president. So I'm glad for that. I'm looking forward to this being over with so we can all focus on other things
as
opposed to politics. But I would say stay the course. If you're a midterm, long-term investor, stay the course, stick with it. Don't just jump in immediately. Try legging into whatever you're looking at. And if you'd like to talk more, just give me a call. I'll be happy to have that conversation.
Provided this for illustrative purposes only and does not constitute investment, tax, or legal advice. The covered material has been obtained from sources that are deemed to be reliable, but their accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed. There are risks associated with every type of investment vehicle. Please read the prospectus and risk disclosure thoroughly before investing. Insurance guarantees are subject to the insurance company's ability to pay. Neither Silverleaf Financial, Kevin Brooker, host, and guests are responsible for the usage of information discussed. Security and investment services offered through Silverleaf Financial, member FINRA SIPC. Please consult with an experienced advisor before making any investment decisions.
Volatility in the market is a fact. What isn't so clear is what the ups and downs of the market can do to your retirement portfolio. For answers, call Kevin Brooker at 800-975-6717. Kevin is founder and CEO of Silverleaf Financial, and he's been helping people cut through the noise and create a retirement and income plan that can take you all the way through retirement. Call now for your free financial consultation, 800-975-6717. Today's market volatility can really take a toll on your portfolio. But what if you could lock in your gains and still be in a position to participate in the gains without suffering losses if the market plunges again? That's what Kevin Brooker at Silverleaf Financial can help you achieve. Your no-cost analysis includes a portfolio x-ray showing any hidden fees in your current plan. He'll show you how by claiming Social Security at the right time can make a huge difference in your retirement income. Call Kevin Brooker today, 800-975-6717. Do it today.